नारायण नारायण नारायण। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 2 वर्स 14 लिंक। नाउ लॉर्ड कृष्णा अर्जेस अस दैट वी शुड बी इनडिफरेंट टू सोरो एंड सफरिंग अराइजिंग फ्रॉम ट्रांजिटरी एंड पेरिशेबल थिंग्स लाइक द बॉडी एक्सेट्रा। मात्रा स्पर्शास्तु कौन्तेय शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखदा आगमापायिनो नित्यास्तांस्तितेक्षस्व भारत। ओ सन ऑफ कुंती, बॉडली सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स विच गिव राइज टू द फीलिंग्स of heat and cold, pleasure and pain, etc., are transitory and fleeting. Therefore, Arjun, bear these patiently, that is, remain unaffected by them or ignore them. Comment. Here a doubt arises that in the verses from the 11th to the 13th, and then again from the 16th to the 30th, there is a context of the spirit and the body. Why are then these two verses about contacts of senses with objects inserted in between? The explanation is that in the 12th verse, as the Lord placed himself also in the category of the other people, here he wants to say that the body is equally transient as other worldly objects are. And therefore, these two verses fit in the context. Tu indeed has been used to explain that transitory things such as bodies, etc., are different from the permanent soul. Matra sparsha, senses including the inner sense, are called tra. And sparsha means contact. Therefore, all objects which are perceived by senses are called matra sparsha, bodily senses. Can affinity with objects also be included in matra sparsha? No. The reason is that it is not inner sense, but the self which accepts this affinity. And that affinity remains even when the objects are lost. The affinity with the unreal can perish only if we deny it. Actually, the self has no affinity with the unreal, but it has accepted this affinity. So it can't be rooted out by any other means such as penance, etc. It will be rooted out only when we cease to accept it. A woman bereaved of her husband's 50 years ago, and if anyone called her as the wife of her husband, Mr. A, she becomes alert even today. It shows that the assumed affinity has not yet broken off. It means that though objects are lost, yet the assumed affinity persists. Shitoshna sukha dukha da. Here, shita, cold, and ushna, hot, stand for favorable and unfavorable circumstances. Favorable circumstances give us pleasure, while unfavorable ones give us pain. If the terms shita and ushna mean cold and heat, then these will represent only objects of touch and their meanings will be limited. These will not represent all sense objects and circumstances. Therefore, it is proper to take their meanings as favorable and unfavorable circumstances. The fact is that the favorable, that is desirable, or unfavorable, that is undesirable circumstances and things, cannot give pleasure or pain, but it is the affinity with them which is the cause of pleasure and pain. So the Lord has called the objects sukha dukha da, producers of pleasure and pain. Agama payinaha. All objects have a beginning and an end, born and disappear. So they are agamapai, that is, they appear and disappear. Anityaha, it may be said that objects may not have pre-existence or post-existence, but in between they do exist. The Lord declares that as they are anitya, transient, they do not exist even in the interim. They change every moment. They change so swiftly that no one can see them again in the same form, because they do not maintain the same shape the next moment. Therefore, the Lord has called all objects as anitya. It means that all worldly objects are transitory and fleeting, and they change every moment. Not only objects, but the senses, including the inner senses with which we perceive objects, are also transitory. There is always a change in them. For example, the senses get tired by the evening while working throughout a day and get refreshed in the morning after a night's sleep. Here, all objects, the gross sense, are called agamapayina, appearing and disappearing. In the finer sense, these are called anitya, changing every moment. In a more fine way, they will be described in the 16th verse of this chapter as asat, non-existent, while the soul described earlier as eternal will be called as sat, ever-existent, in the 16th verse of this chapter. Mere knowledge of agreeable and disagreeable senses is not at all defective, but attachment with and aversion to them, or pleasure and pain in relation to them, is a fault. Not to be affected by such an evil is expressed by the expression tam stitik shasva. Secondly, the body and senses and their actions have a beginning and an end, while you, as a spectator, are different from them. They always change, but you never change. Therefore, you should remain unaffected by them. That is, you should ignore them. To remain unaffected, untainted, is called here titiksha. Appendix. As the body never remains uniform, but changes every moment, similarly, all worldly objects, prakriti, that is nature and its evolutes, which are perceived by senses, mind, intellect, never remain uniform. They undergo union and disunion. We feel happy with the union of those objects which we like, and their disunion makes us sad. We feel happy with the disunion of those objects which we don't like, and their union makes us sad. Objects are also fleeting and transient. Similarly, the senses and the inner faculty are also fleeting and transient. And the pleasure and pain caused by the union or disunion of these objects is also fleeting and transient. But the self ever remains the same. It is immutable and eternal. Therefore, one should bear them, pleasure and pain, patiently. That is, one shouldn't feel happy and sad by their union and disunion, but remain unaffected by them. Pleasure and pain both are different, but their seer is one, and he is separate, unaffected from both of them. By seeing the changeable, the immutability of the self, the soul is naturally perceived as the unchangeable only can see the changeable. Hence the term Shita stands for favorableness, while Ushna stands for unfavorableness. It means that when it is very cold, a tree dries up. And when it is very hot, then also a tree dries up. Therefore, the result of both hot and cold is only one. Therefore, the Lord orders to bear them, that is to rise above them. Pleasure, pain, joy, grief, attachment, aversion, desire, anger, etc., are fleeting and kaleidoscopic, while the self, soul, remains the same. A seeker commits a blunder that he sees the changing condition, but doesn't perceive the self. He accepts the condition, but doesn't accept the self. The condition neither existed in the past nor will exist in future. Therefore, it doesn't exist at present also, though it appears to exist. But in the self, there is neither beginning nor end nor middle at all. A condition never remains uniform, and the self never becomes multiform. Whatever is seen is a condition, and the intellect which sees it is also a condition. The thing which is to be known is a condition, and the thing which knows it is also a condition. In the self, there is neither anything to be seen, nor there is one who sees it. There is nothing to be known, nor one who knows it. The object to be seen and he who sees it, etc., are subject to conditions. The object to be seen and the seer who sees it will not remain, but the self will remain, because the condition will perish, but the self will remain. It means that by having connection with the object to be seen, the self becomes the spectator. If it has no connection with the object to be seen, the self will remain, but it will not be named as the spectator. In the same way, the self, pure consciousness, by having affinity for sharira, the body, is called shariri. If it has no relationship with the body, the self remains, but it will not be named shariri. Gita, chapter 13, verse 1. Therefore, the Lord has used the term shariri for the self or pure consciousness in order to merely explain it to human beings. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan.